नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमः। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव टीचिंग्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 28. So the words in prose, we shall just read the translation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Shukdeva Goswami said, "Thus the great well-wisher of everyone, the Supreme Lord Rishabhdev, instructed His own sons. Although they were perfectly educated and cultured, He instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis who are no longer bound by fruitive activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished also learn by these instructions. Lord Rishabhdev instructed his 100 sons, of whom the eldest Bharat was a very advanced devotee and a follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned His eldest son on the royal seat. Therefore, although still at home, Lord Rishabhdev lived like a madman, naked with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within Himself and He left Brahmavarta to tour the whole world." Purport. Actually, the instructions given to Lord Rishabhdev's sons were not exactly meant for His sons, because they were already educated and highly advanced in knowledge. Rather, these instructions were meant for sannyasis who intend to become advanced devotees. Sannyasis must abide by Lord Rishabhdev's instructions while on the path of devotional service. Lord Rishabhdev retired from family life and lived like a naked madman even while still with his family. Oh. Translation once again. So we see here in how Rishabhdev, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has instructed his 100 sons in the matter of realizing the absolute truth. And the teachings vary from how valuable the human form of life is, how one should make the prime utilization of this human form of life, how one should perform austerities to fulfill or to realize the divine position by inquiry into the spiritual values of life, by rendering service unto the Mahatvas, by fighting the ignorance, by developing love for Vasudev, acceptance of a spiritual master, and placing the faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being non-envious of all living entities, developing respect for all living beings, and in this way one can develop the respect for the Supreme Lord. So practically, the entire gamut of teachings which is given by the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, by the Supreme Lord who has given instructions to various realized souls, has been all wonderfully brought out in essence in the teachings of Rishabhdev. So here we see that the specific mention that although the sons of Rishabhdev were very, very educated and cultured, still Rishabhdev instructed his sons. And just to set an example. So here we see the principle of duty. Even the Supreme Lord follows the principle of duty and shows the importance of performing one's duty as a father. Here he shows his duty as a father. And he will also previously says that one should not become a father, a mother, a king or a demigod, unless one can deliver one's dependence from the cycle of birth and death. So, we shall just discuss in brief about how the Lord shows what is the right duty for the humankind, what is the duty for the practitioners of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and what is the attitude to perform this duty, so that one can actually come to realize the essence of human form of life That is to develop a spontaneous attraction for the love of God. So, we see that Maharaj Parikshit's questions to Shukdev Goswami were very pertinent, very terse, because that was a very crucial moment. That was a time of death. And his specific question was regarding to the duty of the human being. What is the duty of a human being, especially at the time of death? And what is the duty of the man in all circumstances of life? So, the specific mention Srila Prabhupada gives in the purport to the duty of a man who is about to die. Because every man is about to die shortly. And therefore, this duty is very, very prominent to understand. And Shukdev Goswami glorifies this question of Maharaj Parikshit because it has hit the target. Because this is the prime realization in the human form of life, to realize one's duty. And therefore, Shukdev Goswami explains, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyas Chaichata Bhayam. One should always glorify Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, chant the glories of the Lord, Supreme Lord, Smartavyascha. Remember the glories of the Supreme Lord and should perform this devotional service in this human form of life. So, this duty was given in concrete understanding by Shukdev Goswami. And Arjuna was now practically had to apply this duty in his life. And when Arjuna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, due to the weakness of his mind, he lost the sense of his duty. So Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna to revive the lost sense of duty of Arjuna. Because the Supreme Lord Himself was duty-bound to defend the principles of religion. And therefore, Shri Krishna Himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yoge yoge. That His advent into this material world is especially to defend the religious principles of duty. And He Himself chose Arjuna to perform His task, His mission. And therefore, it was seen that Duryodhan and his company were all infected with the power of lust, greed, malice, anger, envy. And therefore, it was not possible for such an administrator to impart the duty and to revive the lost sense of duty amongst the civilization as a whole. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that the progressive march of civilization towards spiritual quest for perfection was hindered, was being obstructed. And therefore, this was defined as violence. And the violence had to be counteracted. And therefore, Krishna chose Arjuna as his instrument to defend the spiritual quest. The quest for highest perfection of human form of life is spiritual salvation. If Duryodhan would have been allowed to go ahead with his atrocities, and in the name of non-violence, if Arjuna had given up, then Duryodhan would have been implicated in more severe reactions, because he would have gone further to inhibit the progressive march of spiritual quest of all these citizens to come. And therefore, this duty was must. A duty to impart the right duty to the humankind. So Arjuna was becoming a kind of a blockage to Krishna's fulfilling the purpose of his mission of human form of life. And therefore, we see that this duty of a human being is to go home back to Godhead. But the whole humankind works on motivations. To perform any act, there are some kind of motivations which are, there are specifically four kinds of motivations. First is that of fear. Second is that of hope. And third is that of a sense of obligation or duty. And the fourth is love. All of these four emotions are being directed towards achieving the acceptance and recognition of the Supreme Lord, the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Those who are acting on the motivation of fear, they are seeking the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord because they are fearing a hellish, a sinful destination, and therefore they are seeking the specific attention of the Supreme Lord to deliver them from this fear. Now, second emotion, that is the motivation, is that of hope. Hope for achieving some material successes or some rewards. And therefore, the living entity works on this motivation to achieve the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Thirdly, when one is freed from these basic motivations, the crude motivations of fear and hope, then one comes on the platform of a duty or obligation. That is, there is a feeling of gratitude towards the Supreme Lord. It is a neutral motivation. It is that simply the Lord is so kind, the Lord is so merciful, therefore I should be grateful. And therefore, this base motivations of fear, personally directed motivations of fear and hope are overcome. But that is not the final attainment of the human form of life, because the final attainment of the human form of life is to develop a spontaneous loving attraction towards the Supreme Lord, because that is the living entity's constitutional position. But a sense of duty always impels towards this spontaneous attraction towards the Supreme Lord. And therefore, there is a process of sadhana bhakti. Sadhaka is on the platform of performing devotional service on the sense of duty, on the platform of duty. Practically, in our devotional service, we see that right from rising early in the morning to performing various practices for spiritual salvation, we are performing on a sense of duty. The service is on the sense of duty. And it is on two platforms. First is to adopt those principles of devotional service which are favorable to the execution of this goal. And the second is to avoid those things which are unfavorable. So the duty consists of these two things. And the third part of the duty of the sadhaka is to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, to follow in the footsteps of those great souls who have shown the right path of duty. As a result of this vidhi marg, one develops respect for the authority of the revealed scriptures, firstly, and secondly, one develops faith in the regulations of the devotional service. Slowly, the transition has to take place from the sense of duty to the platform of loving Krishna spontaneously. So, it is said that pure devotional service is spontaneous loving attraction towards the Supreme Lord. Just as a father loves a son, or just as a young man, a young boy loves a young girl, there is a spontaneous loving attraction. But in the sense of duty, this is not there. So Srila Prabhupada explains that how by cultivating this sense of duty, one will develop this spontaneous attraction. Srila Prabhupada gives a very wonderful example, a very nice analogy. Analogy which is tradition in most of the villages. This is the example of child marriages. Srila Prabhupada says when there are child marriages, the boy and the girl are wedded at the age of 10 to 11 years of old, when they practically do not know each other, where they have no loving emotions. So, the marriages takes place, but then it is this attraction, how to develop the mutual attraction between the husband and the wife. There is a process. The girl, the father of the parents of the girl, they encourage the girl to prepare various kinds of foodstuffs, to prepare various kinds of services to serve the her husband. And by this mechanical process of serving the husband in various ways, finally, at a particular age, thus loving attraction is evoked. Similarly, by the regular performance of devotional service, by a regulated means of sadhana bhakti, one will automatically come to the platform of loving Krishna, where there is no need to be instructed as why to serve Krishna. Then as soon as one hears the names of Krishna, one becomes immediately ready to serve Krishna. And there is no force or burden. And Srila Prabhupada was giving this lecture in this Nectar of Devotion classes in Vrindavan. He was telling that just like Mangal Arati in the morning. And in the beginning, Mangal Arati is like a force or a burden. And we think, oh, we have to get up early. We have to take a cold shower and come to the Mangal Arati. But when this spontaneous loving attraction develops, then one is eager. Mangal means auspicious. That which creates auspiciousness. And therefore, this auspiciousness will be automatically realized when one develops this loving attraction. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, therefore, this right now to cultivate this sense of love, you have to perform activities in devotional service. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that bhakti is a sort of cultivation. It has to be cultivated. And therefore, it is said that one should act in such a way that one satisfies the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada said, just as I was 70 years of old and I had an inspiration that I have to go to the West and give this message of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, I was not sitting idle even in Vrindavan. I was writing, I was compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when I went to the West, I was always in activity. So even at this mature age, Srila Prabhupada moved all around the world. In fact, he even performed the marriages of his disciple. A sannyasi has no business towards performing marriage ceremonies. But Srila Prabhupada said that he was duty bound. He was duty bound to whom? Srila Prabhupada was once giving a class in 22nd Avenue. And he was speaking about sacred places. And Prabhupada said, in the sacred places, one should go and find out an intelligent, scholarly Vaishnava and should inquire from him. Inquire from him about the process of devotional service. And rather not just go to the place of devotional service just to take a bath. And then a reporter was there. And she asked, Prabhupada, what is the secret? Prabhupada said, not secret, sacred. So then the reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, isn't there some kind of magnetism in those places where all these great souls assemble? And Srila Prabhupada immediately became so much alert to his loving emotions. He says, yes, there is magnetism because there are the great souls who are actually on the platform of loving Krishna. And that is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is such a magnetic place. And Prabhupada said, I was in Vrindavan. We had a chance to associate with these great souls. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was saying that, but I am now here in this magnificent great city called New York, where everything is available. But my heart does not reside here. My heart is residing in Vrindavan. But I have taken this great risk at the age of 70 to leave that magnetic place called Vrindavan to the city of New York. Simply because I am duty bound. I am duty bound. Prabhupada mentions twice. I am duty bound towards my spiritual master who ordered me to go to the West. So Prabhupada could have remained in Vrindavan, could have performed his duties as a realized soul. But he had his duty towards his spiritual master. And therefore, This is what Srila Prabhupada mentions in this, was inspired when he read the purport of, when he read the commentary of Balde Vidya Bhushan, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, that Vyavasayitmika Buddhi means to carry out the orders of the spiritual master, or to take the orders of the spiritual masters as one's life and soul. So, this is what we can understand, that Srila Prabhupada was himself duty bound, and he expected his disciples to be duty bound towards the instructions given by the previous acharyas. So simply being duty bound is not enough. The right attitude has to be there in the process of executing one's duty. Then one shall come to the platform of spontaneously loving Krishna. And it is said that one of that personally was exemplified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the quality of humility. And once Upendra Prabhu was asking Srila Prabhupada, how should we develop humility? And Prabhupada was mentioning to him that he was telling that, first of all, I try to think that, you know, how should I become humble, and then I try to act in a humble way. So Prabhupada said that is good, because this is humbleness. When we think that, oh, we are not doing good, we are not doing right, then there is a room for improvement. And therefore, then one can come to the point of loving Krishna more and more. When one thinks that I have done enough, or I am right, then one will not increase one's loving service to Krishna. And Prabhupada said, this is good, that I am feeling that I have done something wrong, I am not doing right. So Prabhupada said, if you think this way, if you think that I am a nice and a sincere devotee, then that is not good. There is no room for improvement. Similar question was asked by Tamal Krishna Maharaj to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, when I serve you, sometimes I feel terrible. And Prabhupada said, terrible? Why terrible? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said that, when I serve you, I feel that, you know, I am not serving you properly. I commit so many mistakes and I feel bad about it. And Prabhupada said, oh, that is very good. You think you are unable? That is very nice. You should never think that I am perfect. Because as soon as you think you are perfect, Maya immediately grabs. As soon as one diseased person thinks that he is all right, and then he can violate the restrictions, then immediately a relapse takes place. So this is very good, Prabhupada said. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, therefore Prabhupada said that this is the way, thinking that I am not perfect, I need to do more, I am not good at it. So this attitude of humility will help in the execution of duty towards spontaneous loving attraction to Krishna. Secondly, one should be ready to execute the order of the spiritual master. One should be alert to execute the order of the spiritual master. And one very nice conversation Srila Giriraj Maharaj was giving on the occasion of the disappearance anniversary of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. At the time of disappearance of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, and they were telling that, I was recounting one nice morning walk with Goswami Maharaj. We are walking on the beach, and as we are walking on the beach, Goswami Maharaj said that, let us walk on a sidewalk where there is no sand. So they were walking on the sidewalk, and Goswami Maharaj saw a sight on the beach. There was a master and his dog, his puppy. And this master had a huge beach ball, and he threw very, very far off into the ocean. And as soon as he threw the ocean, he told the dog to get the ball. The dog went. In fact, it is said that the dogs don't like to go near water. They don't go near water. They don't like to go in water. Yet, the dog went inside. He was struggling to reach the ball. He was grappling. When he got some other, he caught hold of it. He brought it back strugglingly. Gave it back to the master. What happened? The master again took the ball and threw it back into the ocean. And in this way, the dog struggled to take the ball and bring it back. In this way, this went back and forth. And the dog would go, struggle, get the ball, bring it back, again go. Not thinking, why is the master doing such a thing? He didn't just give up. And Goswami Maharaj was saying that this is loyalty. This is the right sense of duty. And Giriraj Maharaj was saying that actually Goswami Maharaj was thinking of himself in his relation to Srila Prabhupada. Whenever Tamal Krishna Maharaj would come to Prabhupada, then Prabhupada would give him some very difficult instruction to follow, a very difficult instruction, like getting the land from Mayapur, or when he was in Mayapur, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, better I to go to China, and Prabhupada said, yes, you go to China. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, no, I was just joking. And Prabhupada said, no, that is Krishna telling through your mouth, so you go to China. And that was the most difficult assignments. So whatever Prabhupada gave to Tamal Krishna Maharaj was practically impossible to achieve. And not only impossible, it had a lot of struggles woven into that endeavor. But nevertheless, Goswami Maharaj would go. He would struggle. He would struggle a lot. He would fight. He would bring the back. He would bring back, and he got the land back. He executed the deal, and Prabhupada said, Jai. He executes practically all the instructions, all the difficult instructions. And therefore, he would come back victoriously for Srila Prabhupada. He would go out, fight, struggle, and gain victory for Srila Prabhupada. So, this was one that Giriraj Maharaj was telling about Goswami Maharaj. Secondly, he was telling that I was just walking up the same place and walking up a hill. I was trying to solve a problem. I was thinking, as I reach on the top, I'll make a solution to the problem. But as soon as I was just walking up the hill in the midway, I realized I got a solution to my problem. Then I thought, there is no point in going so high up the hill. So better I come back down again. And Giriraj Maharaj was saying that practically that happened with Goswami Maharaj. He pleased Prabhupada in such a way that he didn't have to go and finish up or go or struggle more. That was enough for him. And Prabhupada actually called Goswami Maharaj saying that that is the fulfillment of his life. He is successful. And he was called back by Prabhupada to execute his mission somewhere else. So, we see that the sense of duty of a disciple towards the spiritual master actually gives the real impetus for developing this spontaneous loving attraction. And in this way, when one simply executes the order of the spiritual master with a sense of duty, then one is sure to gain the favor of the Supreme Lord. And sometimes it so happens that, you know, it becomes very monotonous. The process of devotional service becomes so monotonous, and so it seems to be rigid. It becomes dull. It seems boring. It is the same thing we are doing all the time. We have sometimes we have the same service. We do the same things. We interact with the same devotees. We interact with the same people coming to the programs. So we think that we must do something new. We must take up some challenge. And this is not enough what I am doing. A thought comes that this duty is insufficient for me. Maybe I should do or search something new. So Srila Prabhupada, actually, a similar incident which happened, and a devotee was telling Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I need some more challenges. I need to do something more than what I am doing presently. Which was actually sufficient, and that was actually pleasing Srila Prabhupada. So we just read some part of this letter, a very inspiring letter. Prabhupada says, of course we are not ever very much anxious to repeat the same activity many times. That is the nature of living entity. He seeks to enjoy varieties of flavors. But mature understanding of activity means to take it as our occupational duty. That is to say, suppose I am established as a good carpenter, then it will be foolish if after some time I am thinking, oh, I have done this cutting of wood so many times. Now it is becoming boring and uninteresting. Therefore, let me become a doctor. That is not recommended by Krishna. Neither it is common sense. And Prabhupada said, so we are preachers on behalf of Lord Krishna. That is our occupational duty. We haven't got to search any further some new challenge or change our engagement. And Prabhupada said, I have built the skeleton of the building, but there is so much work remaining before us. So kindly, simply establish, build on the skeleton which I have already given. There is so much to be put substance in the skeleton. So Prabhupada said that, consider that each day shall be a new challenge for you to push on the Krishna consciousness movement within your range of managing. And Prabhupada said that within your capacity, we have to simply push. We have to push on with our duty. We have to push on with our service year after year, day after day, year after year. And in this way, Goswami Maharaj didn't have to climb the whole thing. And the struggle will become very sweet, will become relishable, and will be realizing in due course of time. And even this question was asked, one of the same question that devotee asked to Vishnujan Maharaj, and this question was asked, sometimes we feel uninspired in our devotional service, so what should we do? And Vishnujan Maharaj said that, that's a sense of duty. Sometimes we are inspired and sometimes we are not. But when we are not inspired, at that time we just continue on with a sense of duty. In the beginning, we were inspired to hear, we are inspired to chant, we are inspired to dance. But right now, that inspiration is not there. May not be there sometimes. So, simply because we have heard, but we have not realized it. But this realization will simply come with the continuous application of our duty in Krishna consciousness. That is what the Supreme Lord comes and teaches all the time to come. Supreme Lord himself performs the duty. He says in Bhagavad Gita, if I would not perform my duty here, then the whole world will be brought to ruination. And therefore, every devotee's duty has a contribution, has a bearing effect to others. Devotional service. Therefore, one steady devotee like Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangri Prabhu have been inspiring devotees all over ISKCON that there is so much if we just keep on applying in Krishna consciousness day after day, year after year. And these examples of these dutiful devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement will make further impetus to develop faith and to develop conviction to progressively go ahead in the process of the stage of attaining that spontaneous loving attraction to Krishna. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or suggestions? Please correct if it was beyond my capacity. I spoke something which is beyond my capacity to realize. And I pray that someday I will be able to realize the sense of duty. Thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Do we have a time for question?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you spoke about duties. So in duties also, do we have something like a lower duty and a higher duty and things like that? Because for Grihastha, for example, there are the family duties to the children, parents, relatives and other people. At the same time, we also talk about duty to Krishna. Sometimes it becomes like a conflict and you have to choose between two. At something becomes urgent, which is not really the highest duty. How do we reconcile these things in our day-to-day life?
Arjuna also was a grihastha. And Krishna urged him to perform the sense of duty. And his sense of duty was not performing some aarti on the battlefield. He was given a task to perform. He was given a mission. But when he was given that sense of duty, when he was, that occupation was given to him, that occupation was not separate from Krishna. That the benefit of that occupation was not separated from Krishna's benefit. So, Arjuna's benefit was thinking about his own benefit. Sometimes devotees come and ask that, you know, Prabhuji, I don't feel good, you know, I don't feel good about performing this devotional service. So practically it is not something for us to feel good. You may not feel good every time about performing Krishna consciousness. We may have to have our, we may have to do so many things which might not be feeling good for us. But ultimately that sense of duty which brings us closer to Krishna, or where Krishna is in the center. And therefore, when you perform even the family duties, the purpose of the family is that, like the Lord Rishabhdev is saying, that one cannot become a family member, one cannot take up the responsibility of a family unless one can deliver its dependence from the cycle of birth and death. So within that sphere, we may have to do the duties, but the sense of giving benefit to Krishna is not lost. So Arjuna had an urgent duty to perform, had an urgency to fight the battle. It was not his normal course of action. He was given this charge, but within that, he was thinking, you know, if I fight, then that will be, he was thinking about his own profit and loss calculation. He was giving, what I will profit, what I will lose if I do this way. And therefore Krishna did not approve of personal profit and loss calculation. And therefore, gain or victory is for Krishna, is Krishna's concern. We are just meant to discharge duties as per the orders given. So, Prabhupada says in one of the purport in Bhagavad Gita that one should act in such a way as if one were one in a military discipline. One should execute Krishna consciousness as if one in a military discipline. So, Arjuna was given this task of fighting the battle of Kurukshetra, and that was an urgent thing. It was an emergency. It was a non-routine task. But within that, the consciousness which was there was the most important factor. Rather than thinking of one's own satisfaction, one has to think about satisfaction to Krishna, giving satisfaction to Krishna. And there might be some temporary duties might come so-called in the way of performing our original duty to Krishna. But if that goal is clear and the sense of giving benefit to Krishna is not lost, then one will not be lost in this process of Krishna consciousness even while performing worldly duties. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, whatever position you are in, just chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Give this message to others and engage the family members in the process of Krishna consciousness. In this way, everything becomes spiritualized and our duty will become Krishna's duty. Any corrections, any additions? Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.